Good morning. Welcome to worship today. A special welcome to our worship guests who are here, and a special welcome to our guest musician this morning, Pastor Gerlach. We thank you for being here with us, and Pastor Stray will share some information with you about why we are graced with his presence today. So we'll save that information for post-service announcements. Today we get to celebrate baptism in a very unique way. Usually we think of the blessings we receive through baptism. Today we see how Jesus was baptized, and although he definitely did receive blessing, it's more we are blessed through Jesus' baptism. So it's an interesting twist, and I look forward to sharing those blessings with you and hopefully send you home more confident in who you are as a baptized child of God. To help us worship, we'll follow the order of worship printed in the worship booklet. We have the privilege of using the baptismal rite, the gathering rite on baptism, so make sure you give special attention to the worship booklet this morning. Also, for some of the hymns, there are some directions as to who will be singing the various verses. So again, make sure you have your worship booklet handy so that you can join in singing the appropriate verses. Let us join our voices to open worship and praising God by singing together the baptismal hymn as it's found printed on page 3 in the worship booklet as part of the Advent gathering rite. You may remain seated for the opening of worship today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we commemorate the baptism of our Lord. As we recall Jesus' baptism, let us also recall the blessings of our own baptisms, through which God has given us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Surely we were sinful at birth, sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. As baptized children of God, we confess our sins.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Keep us who are baptized into Christ faithful in our calling as your children, and make us heirs with him of everlasting life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson for this morning is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here the Lord is choosing who is to be the next king, and although there were many fine candidates for the job, at least as it looked on the outside, the Lord knew the heart of David, so the Lord selected him. This lesson points us ahead to the gospel where God knew that only his son could be the anointed Messiah, only his son could be the savior of the world, and so God chose him. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Then Jesse had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So we asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives."
So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah.
This is the word of the Lord. Our psalm of the day is verses of Psalm 2. They are on page 7 in the worship booklet. The soloist will introduce the refrain, and then we'll join in the refrain and also in those verses in bold print. Psalm 2. Second lesson is recorded in Titus chapter 3. In this lesson, St. Paul shares with you the promises God made to you at your baptism, the blessings that God shared with you at your baptism.
But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life.
This is the word of the Lord.
Son, whom I love, with you I am well.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3. This lesson is the basis of the sermon this morning. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased."
This is the gospel of the Lord. The hymn of the day is printed on page 9 in the worship booklet, and again, please give special attention to the designations of the different stanzas. Please be seated for the hymn.
in the name of him who loved the church and washed her by the washing with water through the word to make her holy, in the name of Jesus. Normally, when you think of a baptism, you think about a celebration of the blessings that somebody receives from that baptism. You're happy for that child. If it's a child, you're happy for the adult. You're happy for the family. You probably plan a party. You maybe dress up for church a little nicer than you did. You go home with family. Sometimes you like to save the bulletin, not because it's a super special bulletin, but because it's the bulletin of the day that your child was baptized. I like to stick them all into my Bible, and then I have little notes and little things that remind me of my kids. It's a celebration of the great things that God has done for that person at baptism. St. Paul nicely summarized them. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Born again as a child of God, sins completely washed away forever, an heir of heaven. These are big blessings to celebrate. Celebrating Jesus' baptism like we're doing today is a little bit different. Because yes, Jesus did receive from God as he was baptized, but not in the same way that you and I received at our baptism. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So I guess you could say there was a family celebration. God the Father spoke and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus. But they weren't celebrating a relationship now restored. They weren't celebrating sins washed away. They weren't celebrating a spiritual man now brought to spiritual life. They were celebrating the Savior of the world. And although I will give you that, yes, and so far as Jesus was human, he needed the Holy Spirit's power to empower him for his earthly ministry. And having the approval of his Heavenly Father would have been a nice boost for his earthly ministry too. But Jesus always was, always will be, the perfect, sinless Son of God. So the celebration that God the Father and the Holy Spirit has was a celebration of our Savior. And God put his stamp of approval on his Son and said, "With him, I am well pleased." And just as God designated the next king in the first lesson, God designated our Savior to be his Son. His Son was our Savior at Jesus' baptism. And so I want to celebrate Jesus' baptism with you today, not so much because of the blessings he received, but the blessings we receive through Jesus' baptism. Through Jesus' baptism, we have the promise that we too have the Father's approval. We too have the Spirit's power. And we too get to live in a barn. I know this drive in everybody is a little different. Some of you might say, you know, I've never once thought about that, and I don't care whose approval I have. But generally speaking, it feels good to have somebody's approval, especially if you respect the person. Oftentimes, it's dad's, right? It's good to have your dad's approval. He says, "I want you to do this. You do it. I'm proud of you." Sometimes that happens in athletics, too. It's good to have a good job from a coach or from a teammate, especially if it's the captain of the team. That just feels good. I did a good job today. I think it happens in the classroom, too. If you get the assignment back and you are worried about it and you have a super fantastic job sticker on your assignment, that feels good. The teacher went out of her way to say, "Good job to me." And it happens at work too, although sometimes I think there's a little more friction with supervisors, managers, maybe the owner of the company. But it feels good when someone says, "Well done, you nailed the deadline, you nailed the project, and here's how we're all better off." And as good as that feels to win their approval, doesn't it really stink when you blow it? And maybe you lose their respect? Or maybe you bring some shame to the family, or you somehow hurt the company? Maybe you have to go into Dad's office when you get home because you didn't do what he told you to do and he found out. Or maybe it's a meeting with Mom and Dad because everybody knows what you did and look at the shame that you brought on the family. That doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to have to tell the team that you blew it because you missed the deadline. And because you missed the deadline, the project's not getting in on time. And because the project's not in on time, someone else is going to get the account. That doesn't feel good. With all these uncomfortable situations, as bad as they are nothing compared to failing a perfect God Almighty. It's nothing having to know that He knows your heart, that He knows your mind, that He knows your life. And God's people, inspired by the Holy Spirit, have lamented this from the beginning. King David said, you know what, even before I had a chance, I blew it. My Heavenly Father was not proud of me from the day my life started. King David said, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. And he was not proud of that fact. The Lord's prophet Isaiah laments that fact too. That even though Isaiah loved the Lord, even though Isaiah was handpicked to write down the promises of God, he too had to lament, all of us have become like one who was unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. He didn't feel good about himself. He was not proud to stand before his God, his Father. And St. Paul has a really good way of saying, you know what, just when you start to feel good about yourself, he says, let's get back to reality. Romans chapter 3, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because we are all born sinful, we're born into this world without God, our Heavenly Father's approval. And then because that sinfulness has a way of manifesting itself in our lives, we don't have our Heavenly Father's approval. And I know that's kind of a hard pill to swallow. I know that's true for a number of reasons. One, because our sinful hearts just don't like to hear it. And if yours is anything like mine, to be told you're sinful, to be told you're wrong, that doesn't go over very well. You add on top of that the fact that it is becoming less and less trendy to talk about right and wrong in our world and our society, especially if you're talking about God's rights and what God considers to be wrong. But does any good really come from getting all worked up and saying, St. Paul, what are you talking about? Pastor, why did you share Isaiah? Pastor, why do you talk about being sinful from birth? Is there really any benefit in getting all worked up over the truth? Or is there any benefit in surrounding yourselves with like-minded people who will say, well, we won't talk about your sin? Is there really any benefit there? Is there any benefit to lying to God and hiding from God and failing to confess to God and just burying it all up inside? Is there really any benefit? I remember a time that I did this. I had my backpack and I knew I had an F in my backpack. And so I went down into the downstairs closet and I unpacked my backpack and boom, the F went right into the closet. All my other papers went upstairs. Is there really any benefit in doing something like that, as if your parents really aren't going to find out that you got an F? Is there really any benefit in you get this F, you get this piece of paper, and you maybe it's a red pencil so you get to erase it, or maybe you put a sticker over the F and you write A+ on your paper, and you give it to Dad and you're all proud, and you really think Dad's not going to look and say, well, why did you get so many wrong and still get an A? What are you going to get, about 5 minutes of fleeting praise before you're going to get called on it and you're going to have to deal with it? Then how are you going to feel in front of your dad? And then you're going to have to go tell the teacher. And then you're still going to have to learn the material and you'll probably have to go face the principal. And what good came from lying? What good came from hiding? What good came from covering it up? Or denying the fact that you got an F? Nothing good came. Nothing ever good comes from denying the sin and sinfulness in our lives, from trying to hide it from our Heavenly Father, or pretending that we have nothing to confess to Him in the first place. You haven't changed anything, have you? God's word is still God's word. Your sin is still your sin. The sinfulness in your heart is still the sinfulness in your heart. Here's how God says you benefit from dealing with sin and sinfulness. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus not only had his heavenly Father's approval because he was sinless, he was perfect, he didn't have a sinful heart. He also won God the Father's approval because he was the one God handpicked to come into this world to live a perfect life, to die an innocent death, to rise again from the dead, to open up heaven for all of us. Because God was very clear in the gospel earlier today, Jesus is going to separate things. He's going to separate the chaff from the wheat. And the chaff really is going to go into unquenchable fire. You can't deny that. You can't lie about that. You can't hide from that. It's going to happen. Which is why God anointed his Son, revealed his Son, and said, "Here's the one who took that punishment for you." You can think of it this way. Jesus went into his heavenly Father's office for you and for me. He had no reason to go in there. He had no sin. He wasn't getting called on anything. But he went into his heavenly Father's office for you, and he said, "Here is what they all have done, and I'm going to take the punishment for them." And God said, "Okay." And then God treated his own Son like the chaff. God kicked his own Son out, and Jesus experienced that unquenchable fire. Jesus experienced damnation in my place and in your place. And when he was done, his heavenly Father said, "With you, I am well pleased. With that payment for sin, I am well pleased. I am well pleased that sin has been punished in you." And Jesus did that for you. Jesus did that for me. So when we celebrate Jesus' baptism today, we are celebrating God's promise that you have your heavenly Father's approval. You don't have to be afraid of him. You don't have to try to run away from him. You don't have to try to lie to him. You have his approval through your Savior, Jesus. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. That's a pretty important benefit for us to remember, that we receive the Holy Spirit and we receive the Holy Spirit's power through baptism. Because I know that life can kind of wear you down, and I know that whole idea of bearing sin and bearing guilt and taking it to God is not always our first inclination, is not always the first thing we're so eager to do. So it's the Holy Spirit's job to take us back to the promises of our baptism and to empower us to do that. To have the confidence in who we are as God's children. Again, back to St. Paul, the Holy Spirit reminds us he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. That's how we face sin and sinfulness in our lives. Trust confidently that we are God's forgiven children. So that we have the strength to daily go through and see what doesn't belong in there. Daily ask God for the strength to get rid of it and to go replace it with something that does make our Heavenly Father proud. King David prayed that same prayer too when he said, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." That's a blessing that we have through holy baptism, the Holy Spirit's power in our hearts and in our lives to remind us of who we are and to empower us to live that way. We have this promise too from St. Paul, "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." And it takes a lot of the Holy Spirit's power to wait on God patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit guides us as God's people. And I know the wait can get long. And I know that sometimes it gets so confusing because you just look at your life and you look at your family and you look at the world around you and you think, when is Jesus ever going to come back? And you think, how am I ever going to be strong enough? How are my kids ever going to be strong enough? I had my neighbor lean over the fence just yesterday and said, well, I'm really afraid of what the world is going to bring for my grandkids. It's the Holy Spirit's job to empower you and to remind you that, you know what, in the end, you get to go live in a barn. You get to be with God forever. Luke records the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Through your baptism, God promises to take you home to be with him forever. Not because you got really good at denying sin and sinfulness in your life. Not because you got really good at taking the papers that you bring home to your Heavenly Father and only showing him the A's, and God, your Heavenly Father, says, wow, good job. Or not because your Heavenly Father says, oh, don't worry, you failed a few, but you did really good over here. It's not because Jesus, your brother, taught you really great ways to fool your Heavenly Father, and you all got together and you wrote a book, 101 Ways to Fool Your Heavenly Father and Avoid Heavenly Disgrace. It's because Jesus promised you, he loves you, he forgives you, you are God's child. And I know that promise doesn't make your problems go away. I know that promise doesn't make the world any less scary, but it can give you confidence that when you share your Savior Jesus with your children and with your grandchildren, they're going to be okay. Because when you pass away and leave this world, you're going to go to your Heavenly Father's house. And you're going to be with Jesus forever. And when you train up your kids and the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does in their hearts, he's going to keep your kids safe. And when the time is right, they're going to go to the barn too. They will be with you. They will be with your parents and with your grandparents. They will be with everyone who has died in the Lord. Glory upon glory, peace upon peace. Jesus is going to separate the chaff and the sin and the shame and everything that troubles you in this life, and he's going to replace it with eternal peace at your Heavenly Father's side. There's lots to celebrate in holy baptism, and they would mean nothing had Jesus failed, but Jesus didn't. Jesus had his Heavenly Father's approval, so you have your Heavenly Father's approval. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus at his baptism, and through your baptism, you have the working, the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life too. And because heaven opened up at Jesus' baptism, Jesus has opened heaven for you. You have the Father's approval. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You get to live in a barn. May God bless you and empower you through those promises. Amen. Please stand. This morning, our confession of faith is on page 10 in the worship booklet. It's a responsive confession of faith based on Luther's small catechism. First, what is baptism? Which is that word of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Second, what does baptism do for us?
Baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this.
What are these words and promises of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
Third, how can water do such great things? Where is this written?
St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, God saved us through washing and rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs and have the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying.
Fourth, what does baptizing with water mean?
Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by David's sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever.
Where is this written? Please be seated as the offering is collected.
We've been asked to remember Bill Halfhill again in our prayer today. He is home from the hospital, but he is now dealing with an infection that has made it into his bones, so we'll ask that the Lord would be with Bill and also with Linda, who is taking care of him again at home. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing our Lord to us at your Son's baptism by water, word, and the Spirit, making known to us that the one born in Bethlehem and adored by the wise men is indeed your dearly loved Son, in whom you are well pleased. Enable us to find in him our hope and salvation, our righteousness and life. As you anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, so pour out that same Spirit upon us, that we may serve you in the world as dearly loved children. Remove from our souls all fear and doubt. Overcome our laziness and indecision. Drive from our lives the ugliness of sin. Open our eyes to the glorious privilege of being your holy priests and of making your salvation known to all people. We ask that you grant your strength and blessing to all pastors, teachers, and missionaries, that they may proclaim your word with fervor and diligence and bring the light of the gospel to those who sit in the darkness of sin and death. In your mercy, O Lord, you show strength and healing to the sick and afflicted. We ask that you give them grace to cast their cares upon you in the knowledge and assurance of your care and love for them. And so we ask that you would bring your healing to your servant Bill, who is recovering at home. We ask that, if it is your will, that the treatment that he is receiving would attack and would defeat his infection so that he might be relieved of his pain and distress. We ask that, above all, you strengthen him in his faith, and again, if it is your will, grant him a recovery according to your good plans. We also ask that you would be with Linda as she takes care of him. We ask that you would keep her strong in her faith, that she might be enabled to continue to keep her husband in her prayers, and that she might receive the physical strength to look after him. Please bless the efforts to take care of and look after Bill. Finally, we ask that you would enable all of us to rejoice in your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, whom we worship with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our worship continues with hymn 709. It's in the blue hymnal, number 709.
look to page 12 for our closing prayers and blessings, please stand. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. May the good news of Jesus' baptism and your baptism empower you to confidently live as God's child, not only in the week ahead, but always. Once again, welcome to our worship guests. It's nice to see you and to have you in God's house. I look forward to visiting with you in the lobby before you go. I have a few announcements to share with you, and then Pastor Stray has some announcements as well. First, there's an announcement. It's the very first announcement on the weekly announcement sheet that there are a few Christmas decorations left. They're no longer going to be used here at St. Mark's, so if you want to go over to the gym lobby and take a look at those, this will be the last Sunday that those are up. So gym lobby, Christmas decorations. Also, there's a handful of the DVD packets that are left. If you just want to take those and take them home and watch them, or better yet, take them and give them to someone, there's, I think, about 8 left. They're back by the visitor center. Please take those. If you don't take them, they'll just go in a box. So take those home and share them. Give them away, however you can use those. Also, we have an opportunity to strengthen our missionaries. This is a favor from the LWMS, our local Lutheran Women's Missionary Society. You are invited to participate in the Easter Card Project, and there's more information about that, again, in the weekly announcements. This is a fun project for anyone who enjoys craft. Prior to Easter, the congregation will have the opportunity to sign the cards to 2 of our assigned missionaries. So we are going to make Easter cards for missionaries, and then we'll have those out in the back, and we can all send them, and then we'll send those off to our missionaries.
So if you would like to help craft those, please take a look at the announcement that's in the weekly announcement sheet. Those are the announcements that I wanted to share with you, and Pastor Stray has some announcements, and then we will watch the Wells Connection video, and again, there's a corresponding insert to that video.
Good morning. Two quick announcements for you. As you are aware from past week's announcements and from our guest organist who's with us, Pastor Gerlach, he's with us because this week, as previously announced, we are hosting the Wells Hymnal Projects Rights Committee. That's the committee that's basically going to put the front section together of the next hymnal that will come out sometime early in the next decade. We're hosting them this week. We thank those members who are helping out by volunteering to prepare meals or host or loan us a vehicle. We're covered in most of those areas, but there's two things we're still looking for this week. One would be is if somebody could help us pick up some of the pastors who are flying in tomorrow. I'm going to be getting a group around five or about quarter to six tomorrow at the airport in the evening. And I'm looking for somebody else who could run to the airport and get a group around quarter after seven. If you would be able to get a group of three pastors flying in at that time, that would be very helpful. I can make that run if we can't find a volunteer, but it would be helpful if someone else could make that run. The good news is you'll recognize one of them because Pastor Gerlach will be returning a rental car to the airport. And he will need a ride back along with the two that are flying in later. So if you're wondering, how am I going to find these guys? Just look for the redhead, and you'll be fine. So, but we need assistance in that area. We also are looking for somebody who might be able to prepare lunch for the group on Wednesday afternoon. There's 9 or 10 of us present for the meal. So, if you'd be able to help out, again, we do have a plan B, but that would be very helpful to the committee, and it helps us to keep our costs down also for this trip that brings them out here rather than us going to the cold, snowy Midwest in January. That's announcement number one. Announcement number two has to do with the small group Bible studies for 3 weeks that will start next week here at St. Mark's. We've been promoting them quite a bit. We said last Sunday, look at your schedules to determine what's going to work well for you as far as participation. We have three times and locations, two on Monday evenings at different times and one on Wednesday evenings. And there are nice bright orange sign-up charts at various spots in the church on the visitor center as you exit straight out the center aisle, and then also the sign-up area of the information center. And also there's a chart also by the school bulletin board. You can sign up on any one of those if you are interested in joining us for these small group studies. If for some reason Wednesday or Monday nights do not work for you, please let me know, because there is the possibility of also adding a Thursday session which would be right here at the church. We ideally want to focus on meeting in member homes, but if that doesn't work for you, if Mondays or Wednesdays doesn't work, let me know and we could get a fourth group going, but that group would meet here on Thursday evening. So we're going to try to start by doing these three groups first of all before we add the group that would meet here at church. Any other questions, feel free to speak with myself or members of the Board of Adult Discipleship. But this will start beginning next week, and it will coincide with our three-part mission statement sermon series that we will have the next three Sundays, which reflects those three statements that are on the church wall in the back as you exit. Glorify God, grow in grace, go with the gospel. So look for those bright orange charts and sign up for that today. Those are my announcements. Let's take a look at the Wells Connection video now for the month of January.
I'm Wells President Mark Schrader, and welcome to your January Wells Connection. With 2016 now underway, let's take one last look at the blessings of the previous year with an eye toward our future. Home Missions approved 7 new starts in 2015, ranging from new churches in suburban areas to cross-cultural ministries in urban settings. And we continue our program that allows our seminary students to experience home mission work in their vicar year.
I just want to learn as much as I can so that after I'm done, when I'm out there and I'm a pastor, I can be the most effective one as possible.
In 2015, World Missions celebrated the 10th anniversary of Asia Lutheran Seminary in Hong Kong, a city that's a gateway to 1 billion Chinese. And the lessons we learned in various places overseas continue to benefit our outreach efforts back home, as people from all over the world make America their new home.
The Great Commission is to proclaim the gospel to all groups of people, for every family and everyone.
Luther Preparatory School celebrated 150 years of service in 2015. And our ministerial education system continued to develop improved ways to reach new communities, including an urban ministry program at Martin Luther College.
Go ahead, Marquise.
Anything that steps us outside of our comfort zone is frightening and it's scary, but it's the only way to reach the people that need to be reached.
One group that always needs our special attention is our youth. One of our longest-running tools for youth, the monthly Kids Connection videos, marked 20 years of service in 2015.
Stay connected! Stay connected to Jesus.
As technology becomes an increasingly useful tool for ministry, we expanded our interactive faith online Bible studies this past year.
I have gone back to the archive sections and watched them almost like a binge-watching approach.
Another major effort started in 2015 is our Synod's debt elimination offering called One in Christ. Eliminating the remaining $4.7 million debt will help us to continue the ministry that God has so richly blessed for us, freeing up resources to meet the many opportunities God is giving us in home missions, world missions, and ministerial education. 2015 also saw the release of My Son, My Savior, the new Wells evangelism film that brings the gospel message to people around the world.
You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
The number on the calendar may change, but the core work we do together as a synod, the work that you have shared in, does not change. God gives us the privilege to work together to bring the good news to people everywhere, in our schools, our churches, our missions, and any other opportunity God provides. We'll continue to be diligent in our planning and in our use of resources as we look ahead to the coming years. And as we do that, we know that another thing that will not change with the calendar is God's continuing grace and mercy in Christ. May God continue to bless you and your family in the coming year.
On the very much lighter side of things, the vast majority of you blew it in the confession today. You all made one big mistake, and I heard it. All the kids make the same mistake in their memory work. If you know what it is, I'll give you an A for the day. But you have to come tell me what it was. So, God bless your Sunday. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out.